want to share a brief message with us today that has just one simple point, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. But if you recall, in recent weeks, we have looked several times at the story of Jesus healing Lazarus from the dead, or calling Lazarus back to life, having been dead for 4 days. And as Jesus comes to the stone, and Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days, clearly dead, he says this. He says, lifting up his eyes, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me." It's interesting to note that the Father and the Son are one. And yet, before Jesus does this incredible miracle of bringing Lazarus back to life, bringing him back from the dead, he prays. And he prays in a specific way, saying, "I want the people around me to hear that I'm praying to you." What we must extract from that is that Jesus is teaching us the value of prayer. Even Jesus himself needs to pray. And then when we roll over a couple of chapters in John chapter 17 and roll past John chapter 17 as to what is coming next, we see in the whole chapter of John 17 that Jesus is all about the ministry of prayer right before Judas betrays him in the garden. He is praying to the Father as the beginning of the most horrible, terrible event that could ever be imagined is about to unfold, is about to happen. Jesus finds himself praying to the Father. And this is what he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, and you and Father are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me, and loved them as you have loved me." Oh my goodness, that is so hard to understand. As I was reading through that, I was thinking, you know, John wrote that prayer after Jesus spoke that prayer. How in the world did John remember everything that Jesus said? "I am you and you and me and us and we and what?" The confidence that we have in the written Word of God is that the Word of God is written under the inspiration of the Father. So possibly John was sitting near Jesus when Jesus prayed that prayer. And there's no way that he could have remembered every one of those "I and me and we and you." I mean, he didn't have a recorder, a video camera on a phone. He had, what did you say? He didn't have that. But later, as he records this prayer under the inspiration of the Lord, he gets it right. So what is Jesus saying here? The most profound part of the prayer that I think of when I read this part of the prayer is something you may or may not know. That Jesus, on the way to the garden, Jesus, on the way to his own death and crucifixion, prayed for you. You see what it says there in the first verse we read? "I pray for believers who will come." You think about God and Jesus and their ability to be able to function in time and eternity in the same time frame. To realize that the Father, who is outside of the 24-hour clock that we function in, functions in eternity and can see from beginning to end. Jesus has that same ability. And so while he is on his way to the garden and while he is on his way to the crucifixion, he looks forward in time and he sees you. He sees me. And he prays specifically for you and me. So here's the profound truth that I want us to remember if we don't remember anything else. Knowing that Jesus has already invested in prayer for us, knowing that he, as was sung a moment ago, he knows us, he knows all about us, he knows our needs, he knows our frets, our worries, our anxieties, our difficulties. He knows our tomorrow. He knows everything. Why in the world do we spend so much time praying for ourselves? The counsel of Jesus is that we don't need to. The majority of our prayers, I would conjecture, are praying about little old me. Poor little old me. Poor little old this. Poor little old that. And dwelling on me. Because we wake up every morning with me. We wake up every morning with us. But Jesus has already settled that matter with the Father. He's already prayed for the things that you're going to wake up and worry about before you even open your eyes. And the counsel of the Scripture and the guidance of the Word of God and the prayer life of Jesus is that we don't need to be a people of worry. We don't need to be a people of anxiety. We need to be spending less time praying about ourselves and all of our concerns and worries and praying in agreement with Jesus for the things that He's already prayed about for you and for me. That should give us a great sigh of relief about our lives. That should give us a great comfort in knowing that the anxieties and the frets and the worries and the confusions are already being attended to by the Father. In fact, it even says in other places in the Scripture that there are those times when we come before the Father in prayer and we don't even know what to say anymore. And we find ourselves just muttering and groaning and just agonizing over the difficulties that we might be in the moment, the difficulties we may face in life. And Jesus interprets those groanings, those inutterable, undistinguishable words of the heart. He interprets those and brings them to the Father for us. As our great high priest, He delivers all of the needs of our lives to the Father. And He prays, and He's already prayed for us. So the function of our lives should be to be inspired by Jesus and claim Him at His Word. Claim the truth of His Word and be inspired by Jesus to be in the activity of praying for others and praying along with Jesus for those believers who will come. Because when we pray that way, we begin to understand that when Jesus has already prayed for our needs, we learn from Him that when He prays, He sees you. As you believe, He sees you. And He prays specifically that I and me and you and we and us and the, all of that, it's hard. You take your time and read it. You can understand what He's saying. But basically, the desire of Jesus' heart in prayer is that we would be one with Him and one with God, because Jesus and God are already one. The coming of the Holy Spirit will seal up the Trinity, and He wants us to be together with Him. He wants us to be believers in Him. He wants us to be united with Him. He wants us to be united with one another. What an incredible privilege it is to be invited in prayer to be one with the Son of God. From the perspective of little old you, from the perspective of little old me, the nothingness of who we are compared to the majesty. And as Jesus is on His way to seemingly greater things, He stops and prays to unite us with Him. And He sees you. He sees me. He sees the matters of the heart. And He prays this matter again of the glory in verse 22, and the glory which You gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as You and I are one. The matter of the glory of God, He keeps speaking it. He keeps communicating the glory. Several years ago, I pastored a church, and my youth pastor went out on a limb and invited this up-and-coming worship band to come and lead worship for our Disciple Now. It was a band that nobody had ever heard of before, called Mercy Me. And they came to our church before they were famous, and we helped them unload their equipment and, you know, set up on the stage. And it was one of those kind of cool youth events. And in the middle of their worship service that night, they introduced the now famous song called I Can Only Imagine. And the story is told of Bart, the lead singer, how he had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as a teenager, and as a 19 and 20, 21-year-old, as a young adult, he began to minister to his father, who was absolutely rejecting the notion of Jesus Christ. And finally, Bart's father came to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And shortly after Bart's dad came to know the Lord, he contracted cancer, and he didn't live much longer after that. And as Bart is this up-and-coming music leader, singing for the Lord and trying to make his way in the world and giving his music to the Lord, he became really bitter in that moment. Why did you take my dad from me? Right when we came together, right when we bonded together, why did you take him from me? And the song, I can only imagine, became his response to that bitterness. And he said, this is what I imagine when I leave this earth and go to heaven. He said, I imagine when I get to the pearly gates, my dad is going to come out to the edge of heaven and meet me. And we are going to hug and we are going to embrace and we are going to hold on to each other for all we're worth because I miss him so much. And after what will seem like an eternity of embracing my dad, my dad is going to push me back and grab me by the shoulders and say, son, you got to come in here. You got to come see Jesus. And me and my father are going to walk hand in hand into the glory of the Lord. Why does Jesus keep talking about the glory? Because it's more than we could imagine or even think. It is the best thing that could ever be, to be in the presence of Jesus, to be in the presence of the one who's prayed for us 2,000 years ago. He thought about you. 2,000 years ago, he thought about me. He knows all my little pity parties and all my little complaints and all my little whinings. And he prayed about me and he wants me to know and he wants you to know there is so much better ahead of what's this life right now. Oh, that you see the glory that is to come. Oh, that you bask in the presence of Jesus. And he sees us and he desires that we would believe. He desires that we would be delivered into the glory. He sends for us. He sends for us. He says that where I am, there they may be also. And I pray that they would be protected until that day. That they would be, and you and I would be protected until that day. I'm sure you know that God answers Jesus' prayers. We wonder sometimes whether he answers ours or not, but I am certain that he answers the prayers of Jesus. And so, friend, I want you to know that Jesus has already prayed. He has already protected. He has already covered those in you who believe. And he sends for us. And in verse 26, he serves us up, if you will. He serves us up to the Father. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. I have declared to them, meaning you and me, your name. And I am certain in that declaration of the name, that Jesus has also declared your name to the Father. I mean, who are we without our name? And our name becomes our identity. It becomes our character. It becomes the essence of who we are. And that name, your name, has been declared to the Father in such an intimate exchange. He delivers us up, promising us eternity, delivers us up in his love. But it's important to remember that Jesus said in prayer that he prays for believers. And so it's critical to ask ourselves the question, Am I an answer to His prayer? Are you an answer to His prayer? Have you come to the place where you have believed? You see, that believing is an action on your part. All of this wonderful truth of the Scripture is of no impact until you believe. We talked to Ms. Godet's funeral about the understanding of a gift. The Bible says that salvation is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. We're close to Christmas. I already have seen Christmas trees up and Christmas music being played. And so the notion of Christmas and the gifts under the tree. Hopefully that you'll gather around a tree at Christmas time and there'll be a gift with your name on it. But the truth of it is, it's not really a gift until it's received. It could stay under there during the whole Christmas season and have no effect on you if the gift is not received. It only becomes the gift when it's pulled out from under the tree, declared that your name on it, and the wrapping is uncovered, the box is opened up, and look what somebody gave me. I received the gift. The gift of salvation must be received so that you can be an answered prayer of Jesus when He prays.